It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And of course, we want to thank our sponsors, SeatSitters.com and Schoolcraft College, which I'm so excited. I just signed up for my French class.
Oh, nice. Oui, oui. I was trying to think of what to say in French.
Je suis très excited.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Yes. You're going to be teaching.
No, but I'm so excited to take this class. They have so many. It was hard to take just one. Their catalog is so full
it's
of
so
interesting
fun.
Classes
yeah.
and workshops and seminars, and their IT program has skills and certificates and associate's degrees in the latest technology. So if you're leaning that way at all, like I keep telling myself, one of these days I'm going to learn to code. That is never going to happen. But if you say that to yourself and you want to make it happen, check them out at schoolcraft.edu/CIS. And don't forget, they have online classes. So if you're not here in Michigan, they can accommodate you. And they've got a huge list of online classes as well. So we have a very special guest today, one of my very good friends who has so many titles. I'm probably not going to hit them all. You've done everything. Karen Buscemi, the founder of Detroit Garment Group, the CEO of Detroit Zone. You're a writer. You're a mom, a sister, a daughter, what else do you do?
Wife.
You're a wife.
I do those things. I do all those things.
But you do, and there's more business things too. I know I'm forgetting some of your titles. Oh, you're putting on, you are the brains behind Fashion Speak and the Verge Trade Show and Market, which is coming up.
Yeah, that's coming up October 11th at 12 Oaks Mall in Novi. Tickets are available. Fashion Speak is a day of fun workshops that focus on the business of fashion. And then the Verge Trade Show and Market is open to the public. You can come out and shop local and see what our designers are doing in our state.
Nice. And is it all in the center part, the first floor of the mall?
The trade show will be in Center Court, yes.
Okay, awesome.
I went last year to Fashion Speak, and it was so interesting to hear all these people speak about how they got their start in the fashion industry and what they did to move up and get their products out there. And that's what we wanted to talk to you about today, because you founded Detroit Garment Group in 2012.
Yes.
And that is basically... That's the nonprofit side?
Yes, that's the nonprofit.
So that's business education for the fashion community in Michigan.
Correct, along with various opportunities as they are made to us. They can be a whole sorts of things.
Okay, so why did you just create this thing that probably no one had ever heard of or thought of doing? Like, what made you do that?
So back then, I was the editor of Styleline magazine, which was a product of the Detroit Media Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot with our local fashion design community. And what I thought was, well, there's a couple of things I thought were really interesting. One was how much talent we truly have in the state. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is nobody knows. And the other thing I thought was interesting is they didn't even know how to reach out to me for the most part. Every single month we had a department called Designer Spotlight. I had to think about that. It's been a while. And we featured a Michigan designer every single month. And this was the biggest magazine in the state. It had 60,000 plus subscribers. And yet nobody was reaching out to me and saying, hey, I'm a designer, you know, and I started to realize, I don't think they know how to do this part of the industry, of the business. I think they know their craft really well. They know how to design. They know what they like. They know how to choose fabrics, all that stuff. But they don't know how to market. They probably don't even know how to make a business plan or create financial projections or all those kind of things. And it turns out they don't, because we have all these great fashion programs here, but they don't teach business classes and they want to be entrepreneurs.
I see. So you saw that these people are very talented, but don't have that side.
I think that goes for a lot of creative people.
Like, I agree.
Some of the most talented people, right? They have these great talents and they just don't know how to get the word out. They don't want to. They feel like it's boastful, or, you know, they don't want to be in the limelight, but yet they need to be so that all of us can, you know, reap the benefits of their talents.
Right. And Stacey, you probably know this too. You're a creative person. You're probably not awesome at putting yourself out there and selling yourself, marketing yourself. It, you know, it's kind of left brain, right brain mentality. And yeah, so that's what we're there for.
That's amazing. Well, because I know, and you're that way too. And it's like, I can market anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
I will go sell you to anybody.
Right.
But to try and sell myself. Yeah.
Right.
I know we know each other, but.
Right. All right. Well, so let's talk about that side of it. So at the time, you have two children.
I do.
And a husband.
I do.
And you started this nonprofit and then the business, Detroit Sewn, which is a full service sewing and dye sublimation. I don't know what that means, but I wanted to say it because it sounds fancy.
It's very cool. So I was like over here like, whoa, look at you.
I know,
like
right?
That. What?
Wait, what? She's fashionable.
Just tossing around terminology.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the lingo. What is dye sublimation?
Okay, so this is the coolest process. So basically, dye sublimation is printing on fabric, but you probably know what screen printing is. Probably, you know, half your shirts in your closet, your t-shirts have screen printing on them. And you know how over time it fades and it starts to like scratch off. Exactly.
Our producer Remy's got.
So dye sublimation actually presses the ink into the fabric so that it becomes part of the fabric, and it's there and it's so vibrant, and there is nothing else that can print photography in particular like dye sub. It is so cool.
And you do that up there?
Heck yeah.
Nice.
In downtown Pontiac.
Okay, so you've got a family. You take care of your mom.
I do.
And you start two businesses, basically.
Yeah.
Now, did you leave the magazine before you did this, or were you still?
The magazine shuttered.
Oh, okay.
So I was still running the nonprofit. And then one day I was like, hey, let's start a sewing factory. That's one I would like to revisit, because I don't know how I jumped on that one as quickly as I did. Now that I'm 4 years into it, it's like, whatever made me think that I could, I don't sew. Well, I didn't sew at the time. Certainly didn't know manufacturing. I can work a couple of the machines now pretty well.
Awesome.
Yeah. But at the time, heck
no. So you didn't have a fashion background?
I had fashion magazine background. So editing, styling shoots, being amongst designers, seeing their collections.
You're an artist. Isn't that what you studied in college?
Yeah, okay. I went to school for graphic design and photography.
Okay, so you do have that artistic background, so it wasn't that big of a leap.
Well, we're talking art to manufacturing.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Very different. But then that's when it's about surrounding yourself with people who actually know, right?
Okay, so that was going to be my first question. Like, where did, when you decided to do this randomly, apparently, and out of the blue?
It wasn't super random. I mean, the reason that I did it was because the nonprofit was getting inquiries at one point on a daily basis of people looking for some place to produce in the state. And there were maybe a handful of options at the most, but none of them were truly full service, nor could they handle like more than a small batch of manufacturing. So seeing how my nonprofit is all about keeping our talent in the state, and you know, we would love to have a garment district here one day, it was like, okay, well, somebody's got to have a full service sewing factory here. Like, we need to support our talent, and then we need to be able to show other factories and fabric mills and all that stuff that there's a need here. And here we are 4 years later because there's a need here.
And who does your nonprofit benefit?
The fashion community. So you can be a designer, wardrobe stylist, fashion photographer, anywhere that you are in the fashion industry, we work with them.
Awesome.
So where did most of your support come from when you started this?
Well, luckily, I've got a lot of reach from my background with the magazine and working with designers. I really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to find a production manager in the state. Like, that was something I was a little concerned about, that I might have to bring somebody in from out of state. But amazingly, there are people who make pretty good production managers here. So there you go. It's all here. It's just, you got to look for it.
Well, so there's a lot of women out there who probably have dreamed of starting their own businesses. What was your biggest fear before you leaped in?
I think the biggest fear is almost always money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I'm kind of a fearless person. I am quick to jump into things. Like, if I've got the excitement, I know I have the discipline and the will to see something through. So, like, I know that about me. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody who's going to go into business, you really need to be in it to win it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I see a lot of people who come to the factory who have a really good idea, and we can make their product all the way to completion from them. It could be from a sketch or from an inspiration image. We can get it all the way to that point, but what they do with it afterwards, you know, truly the business part of things, you know, a lot of them just kind of fall away once they have their product because they don't really have a plan in place. They never wrote a business plan, or they don't have a marketing plan, and they truly aren't in it to win it. Like, they aren't willing to market that thing every single day for, say, a year. You know, mm-hmm. maybe they do it for a few months and they say, well, this isn't really getting traction. I can't keep doing this. And then that's it.
I think a lot of people expect overnight success too. And that's something that you have to know. Anything that's worth it takes time to get there.
For sure.
And you just can't expect something.
And it's going to have ups and downs.
Right.
So what do you do to maintain your passion and that mindset during the down times? Because they always show up.
Cry?
No.
Wine?
yeah. Wine with an H or not?
Right.
You know, you do have to plan for it. And I think, like, for us, part of it was diversifying and getting into dye sublimation, because it's a whole other area that truly doesn't have to have anything to do with sewing. It's its own market, its own industry, and we can tap our own clients, but then we can tap a whole new set of clients. So I think it's thinking in bigger terms like that. Like, okay, you know, we, like, for instance, I know in December and January, business really gets quiet for us. So I need to know that I've got that situated before December and January come. Otherwise, it's like, oh, hey, how am I going to pay everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on a personal level, like, you're starting these companies, you've still got a family, you're still taking care of your mom. Where did you find your support to support Karen Buscemi, not your companies? That's what I'm interested in.
Girlfriends. I think it's all about girlfriends. Honestly, having people that you can just let it out, you know, because it's like, that's not something that you're going to say in front of your clients. It's not something I'm going to talk about in front of my employees. And I love my husband to pieces, but he's not a girlfriend when it comes to talking, you know. Sorry, honey. But it's like, just knowing that you can be real, you can be authentic and throw it all out there, and then, like, pick yourself back up again and go, okay, got this.
But speaking of your husband and support, what was that like? Like, you went to him and said, I'm thinking about starting this nonprofit in this.
He is ridiculously supportive. Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things that was good for us from the beginning, because we are both creatives and I have ideas. I want to write books. I want to do this. And he's just like, okay. You know, like, it's just, he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't care. And same thing for him. I mean, he's been in a band since before I met him, and he wants to have practices at the house. Have practices at the house. Like, do what fuels you.
Mm-hmm.
What about your kids? Do you feel like they got shortchanged at all when you had to give a lot of attention to?
Hell no.
Okay.
No.
I like to hear that.
Well, yeah. No, because no. First of all, I want to show my kids a strong woman with hopes and dreams and the ability to see crap through, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want them to see that. Am I making you dinner every night? No, I am not making you dinner every night. We will figure something out. My husband might grill. Truth be told, he would rather get takeout every single night of the week, especially if it's Chipotle. Hey, Chipotle, you could be a sponsor of the show. You know what? Like, who cares? We still, for the most part, are around the dinner table most nights, and mm-hmm. sometimes we're not. And sometimes my husband's traveling, and sometimes I have an event I have to go to, but that's real life. I think it's good for them.
Yeah, I think that a lot of women struggle with that, right? I mean, I've always worked, Stacey's, you know, always worked for the most part, right?
I've worked off and on. I'm one of those people, I've gone back and forth. I've been the complete stay-at-home mom, and then I've been the full-time working you-never-see-her mom. And
did you have a preference?
I prefer to work.
Me too.
And I preferred, especially when my daughter was home, I preferred her to see me working, just for the reasons you said.
And if I don't have enough to do, I could literally just walk laps around my house. Like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Right.
I can only make so many beds and fluff so many pillows. So it's like I really get antsy. And it's like I get lost when I don't have that kind of direction and something to look forward to.
Yeah, I've always said if I don't wake up and have like A, B, C, D, E to do, I'm like a blob of jello. Like I'm like Jerry Springer's on and I'm saying, why am I watching this? Well, I've got to get going, get in the shower. You know, I have to have a bunch of things lined up to do all the time.
I think it's interesting. You two are very similar. And you, Lynn, are like your company is pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
So are you relating to the things Karen is saying? Like, does it feel like, oh, this is also familiar? Like,
oh, for sure. Every time I hear someone that's like, they went from the corporate job, you know, where everything is, you know, it's not 9 to 5, but because when you're in sales, it's all over the place. But you kind of take that little risk of this is all on me now. And even though I'm like you, where I'm like, I will get it done. I'll see something through the end. I'll make it happen. It, sometimes you're just like, is it, you know, is this really what I want to be doing? Or do I want that safety net of like working for, you know, the company again? But then the safety net's really created by me, right?
Right.
If like I used to say when I was a sales manager to the salespeople, you can go out and go to the movies all day long. I mean, I'm not going to catch you, you know, but your paycheck is going to reflect it. And then you only have yourself to blame.
Right.
And I've always been in sales. So it's the same thing here. I got to sell myself all the time. And unlike designers and creative people, I'm, you know, willing to sell myself all the time. I have to. It's all I've never done.
Well, we were talking about this because you and I were supposed to get together yesterday.
Yes.
And then you said, oh, I forgot we have a commercial shoot.
Yes.
And so we were discussing this and you coming in, Karen, because she said, you know, it's like, I want to have my Sunday free and go to the farmer's market and do stuff, but I've got this commercial shoot. I'm like, that's because your company is starting out and you have to sacrifice it first.
It has to be 24/7.
For sure.
I can't say no. Like, I will cancel personal things to take a client thing because, like I just said, it's like I've got to grow up myself. There's no one. I mean, I have a partner, but you've both got to be working at it all the time.
And it changes over time.
Sure.
Like, that is truly what a startup business is. Like, you're wearing the majority of the hats,
right,
and you're putting more time into it than you've ever put into a regular job in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to have that mindset and know that that will ease over time. Now, 4 years in, and it's funny because like you don't even realize it until that moment comes. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, my company is really starting to run itself.
Oh.
Like my management team knows what to do. Like, sometimes they might call me up and get my opinion on something or, you know, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? But they can do it. I can remember earlier on, to take a vacation was really scary.
Yeah.
To go away and have somebody else running that company. Because
mm-hmm.
It's not like when you're doing it completely on your own and you go on vacation, right? Like, now everything has to keep going. The orders have
right.
to be getting made. Things have to be getting quoted. Money has to be coming in on time. And to know now that they can do that and I can actually just go and soak in a pool with a pina colada, that's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, I have a question for you, but we're going to give you time to think about it while we talk about our sponsor. So the question is, what do you wish you'd known when you started? And while you're thinking,
hell.
Yeah. And and speaking of women growing companies.
Every week we have the same transition idea. We're just too good.
We are.
So SeatSitters.com was invented by a strong, independent woman who did it based on the fact that airplanes are filled with germs. And she was tired of traveling and getting to vacation and her or one of her family members was ill, or they get back from a great vacation and then they get sick. And then every time this happens and you work in an office setting, people are like, it was probably that plane because it's full of germs. So we do everything to keep ourselves healthy. We eat right. We exercise. Why not do what we can to prevent germs? And that's exactly why SeaSitters was invented. It's a travel kit that was created for clean, healthy travel. It comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, 2 sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. So for under $20 per kit, you can fly healthy. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member. Order your SeatSitters today at SeatSitters.com, or you can go to BedBathAndBeyond.com and look in the travel section.
All right, so what do you wish you'd known?
Okay, well, so funny enough, you know, with my nonprofit, we teach business education, but I wish I had had business education. I had never taken business classes myself. And while I set that up in different ways for our fashion community, I really did not have any business knowledge. So that would be number one, because I do think that that would have made some basic setup and how I overall thought about the company and strategized, especially in year one. I think it would have made that go a lot smoother. I will tell you that year one was tough because it was just nothing but making mistakes, nothing but making mistakes.
Okay, on along that line, I'm gonna let you finish, but along that line, so say somebody's interesting and they're like, okay, I'm starting my own business. I've got this idea. I'm inspired now because I'm listening to Karen and Lynn and they've done it. And okay, all right, now I need business classes. What about a mentor? Would that have helped, or do you really feel like it would have been the classes? Because I want to help people here. I want to give people real solutions.
Right.
So.
Bit of both.
Okay.
So mentorship is great, but I would tell your listeners, don't depend on it, because your mentors are other busy people. And while they generally are willing to give their time, it's probably not as much time as you might need.
Okay. All right. So what else do you wish you'd known?
I wish I had brought in a partner, like started this with a partner and maybe a partner who had that business background. I think we get very selfish with our businesses. It's like, no, 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 this is mine. I want to reap all the benefits. 100% me, 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 me. But to go in it with somebody else, like you're one side, that person's the other side, and you can bring those skills together, I think that that would have made things a lot easier as well. And that's what most fashion designers do. They have a business partner who manages the business while they create.
Do you have a special success story from the nonprofit that you can share?
Of a particular designer?
Yeah, or something that that you guys really helped to get someone on the map?
No, because I would tell you that we don't really work one-on-one with designers. You know, we're trying to help as many people as once with overall business education.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
But like what you did last year at Fashion Speak, there was a panel. I'm trying to remember it. There was a panel and people who created their own products were able to pitch them.
Oh, yeah.
And
the Meyer merch search.
Yes.
All right. Well,
yes.
What's that all about?
And so somebody got chosen, or maybe a couple people, I don't even know, to have their products that they've been working on and making here in Michigan sold in Meyer.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Correct.
So, yeah. So that is definitely one of the opportunities. When I say we try to provide opportunities to our community, things like that, where we can get them in front of an audience that maybe they could not get in front of on their own. And, you know, Meyer was super serious and they were there to find talent. And yeah, we've done it twice and I believe they have found somebody each time.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I remember watching a little bit of it last year and it was like I was so excited
for those people.
It is, because you can tell they're so passionate about what they've been working on and creating, as we all are when we make something. And it was so great to see them have a chance.
Yeah, and we do a pitch competition at Verge. It's the last thing that we do of the day. It'll be at 4 o'clock on October 11th. So if you are around Twelve Oaks, you can pop in. It's going to be in Center Court, but you'll actually get to watch the Verge trade show exhibitors go head to head pitching their product. And whoever is the winner of that, Taubman, which is our sponsor of the whole event, our presenting sponsor, gives the winner a weekend pop up at Emerge at Twelve Oaks.
Wow.
Get out.
So who are the judges?
One of the executives from Taubman, and then my sales manager, Marcy Seibert. She's worked in sales with designers for quite some time. And then there's another woman in this industry called her name is Yolanda Portis. she is called this.
So tell us, because we do have to wrap up in a little bit here. I want to know, like, starting all this, and I love your attitude that, like, the kids need to see, and I'm sure kids need to see their mother pursue her dreams and be strong and independent. And I'm sure that's inspiring somebody out there. What emotion or habit or whatever it is in your life, what was the biggest waste of that? Like at the beginning, like what did you do that was unnecessary that you kept around because it was just habit? And then you're like, I got to let this go if I'm going to make this work.
In business?
Well, just like as a person, like making these things work and keeping your family going and making everybody happy, because that's what we do as women. We make everybody happy.
I'll tell you, I don't watch a lot of TV. Okay. I watch any like Amazon Prime, whatever show I want to watch while I'm putting on my makeup in the morning, because that's already happening. And before I go to bed at night, I'm not into reality shows, and I really try to limit my social media. It's about time management, and that's what's most important in building a business.
That is the best piece of advice.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Kara Buscemi, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
If you are in the fashion industry and you want to attend Fashion Speak in the Verge Trade Show Market, October 11th at 12 Oaks Mall, tickets are on sale.
Yes.
We will put all this information on our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com, and of course on all our social media. And thanks for joining us, Karen.
Thanks for having us.
We will see you next week.
My God, I can't talk.